You're listening to WWBC, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
You are tuned into New Beginnings in Christ Ministries, where the pastor is Ralph Williams. And now here we
get the theme throughout this book, Pastor Ralph. And we'll see that is Christ is better, that he's better than all things and better surely than the angels. In fact, that song we just sang was speaking about how they will one day lay prostrate. Even the fallen angels, even the demons will declare, and Deacon Frank said that everyone will declare that Jesus Christ indeed is who he says he was, that he is Lord. As we begin our reading, we'll begin our introductory verses from Hebrews chapter 1, beginning at verse 9, some verses that we have seen already. And in this verse, we see that the Hebrew writer begins to share some things or share this truth about Jesus. Verse chapter 1, verse 9, and that should be page 1041 if you're using a pew Bible. If you're with me, please say amen. And we read here, it says, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. And one of the things we pointed out last week is that it's talking about past tense, that he's always loved righteousness and he's always hated iniquity or sin. He goes on, therefore God, even thy God, have anointed thee, it says, with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And again, that oil of gladness is talking about Christ and his joy that was with him, and he's given it to us. And even when he was on the cross, one of the points we made last week, that it was still a joy for him to die for us because of the love he had for us. And rather than him looking at what was going to happen, he looked at how this whole thing was going to play out when he was risen from the grave and sent back or brought back to heaven with his Father. He knew we would be in a great position. He knew that he would pay for our sins. And by the way, he even knew who you were, even though that was some 2,000 years ago, because he loved you. He said, I'm going to die for you. And he did what he said he was going to do. He goes on, verse 9 says, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even our God, have anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And in fact, above everyone that was ever born and even the angels that were created. Verse 10 says, and thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens, it says, are the works of thine hands. And we did go and navigate back to John chapter 1, verse 3, where it says that through him all things are made, and without him is nothing made that has been made, speaking about Jesus Christ, who was the creative arm of the Godhead. Verse 11 reads, then they shall perish. And he's talking about this creation. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they shall wax old as doth a garment. And look, as things get old, they wear out. And he's talking about this world. He says, and as a vesture shall thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. And he ends this verse, he says, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. And I love this, man. And every time I was reading this, in fact, this week, as I was reading this out and studying this out, I began to think about Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, where God says that everything that he made in his creation, he said it was very good. And from chapter 1 to chapter 3, when sin entered into the picture, things were not good anymore. And it made me think about myself and even all of us guys as believers. As long as we're doing the will of God, as long as we're walking as he would have us to walk, as long as we're doing things his way, it's going to be very good. But the moment, like in the garden, when sin is introduced, it's not going to be so good anymore. God created all things to be good, and it was good. And because of sin, it turned into something that was no good at all. And we need to be mindful in regard to our walk with the Lord and know that we need to do what he tells us to do and not what we want to do. And that way God will know, or at least will assure our hearts, that because you're walking as I told you to walk, you're going to be good. Guys, please be prayerful with me as I continue in this series. Christ alone is worthy. And Father, as I dive deeper into this great book, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you will hide me behind his cross. And Father God, bless in a mighty and a special way, Lord, for these words that you have had me to study this week, to be words that were meant for this congregation. Father, I see some faces here that I saw last week, but I also see some faces here that I have not ever seen before. And Lord, you knew they would be here, but I did not. And I pray, Lord, for all of us that you minister to us and bless us and meet us at the place where it would do the most good. And Father, allow not me, but your truth to infect and affect our hearts in ways that will keep us on your straight and narrow and keep us ministering in a way that you see that is good. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We say yes to your will and to your way as we pray in Jesus' name and for his name's sake. Amen. He says, I'm going to back up just a bit or start here at verse 12 of chapter 1. And the writer says here, it says, and talking about the earth, and as a vesture that thou shalt fold them up and they shall be changed. And I love the verbiage here. He's saying that look, the same God that created everything, he's going to destroy everything because of the infestation of sin. He goes on in this verse and he says, but thou art the same and thy years shall not fail. And we know Bible intimates that or tells us that Christ and the Godhead are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And look, all created things are going to change, but he's always the same, which is why we can always trust him and know that whatever he tells us is going to be the truth. And what this Hebrew writer is doing, look, he's validating the superiority of Christ over angels, although he really don't have to, but he's showing us why he is. It says in verse 13, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemy thy footstools. And again, he said it not to angels, but he did say it to his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. Verse 14 says, as he makes this statement, he says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them? Look what he says, who shall be heirs of salvation. And so he's talking about angels that minister to his saints, that minister to his people. They have no power except the power that God gives them. And we know that they are messengers and they speak what God would have them to speak. When you're in trouble, he can dispatch an angel towards your way. If there's an issue, he can dispatch an angel your way. And God's angels, the two-thirds that did not rebel, will always be obedient. They're ministering spirits. They do what Christ says. He doesn't listen to them. And they had no thoughts on their own. They have only what God gives them in regard to their service. He says in verse 13, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Are they not all ministering spirits sent to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? And by the way, guys, that's you and that's all who will come to faith in Christ. Chapter 2, verse 1, he says, therefore, in other words, from verse 1 all the way to verse 14 of chapter 1, he's saying, for that reason, we ought to give, he says, the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And I love what he's saying here, guys. He's saying that we need to make sure and pay attention to what God is trying to tell us. In particular here with the verses that we're seeing about the superiority of Christ. Man, we don't mind angels. We don't go seeking angels and looking for angels, but Christ is the one. He's the one that gives them instruction. And by the way, he's the one that gives us instruction as well. When I'm looking in God's Bible, in the Word, and I see a verse or I'm listening to a preacher and I hear him say something that's near and dear to something in my life or in my heart. If I know that I'm doing something contrary and he preaches to me or I read something that says I should not be doing that, then I need to heed that warning. I need to take it and make it my own. I need to place that in my heart and do what the word is telling me to do. Because if I don't pay heed to it, he's saying in this verse that we don't want it to slip. I saw an analogy by John MacArthur, and he was talking about this very same verse, and he was saying it's like a great big cruise ship, and they're coming in the port. And as it gets to port, they adjust their speed because they got to hook up to this dock so folk can get off. And if this thing is coming in too fast, then it will go by the port. It's as if they didn't even pay any mind till the dock was here. And then the dock's there, and next thing you know, you're past the dock. And then they try to have to back this thing up. And listen, that's a big monstrosity, very hard to back up. You got to pay mind to it before you go past. And listen, your life, when God's speaking to your heart and he tells you something and you don't pay mind to it, or you let it slip by and you just go right on past it, next thing you know, you're in high seas somewhere and you want to get off the boat, but you can't because there's no dock, because you didn't listen when the dock master said, we need to tie on your ropes, slow that bad boy down, and your life is rolling and you done passed by what God would have you to do because you didn't pay mind to it. And you thought it was not that big of a deal. And guys, what he's helping us understand, that anything God says in his word is a big deal. And especially when he's speaking to your heart, or somebody's preaching and those words hit in a place in your heart that you need to be take heed. You need to be mindful of it. Because if you let it slip, your life is simply not going to ever be the same. There's some things that God would have all of us to do. There's some things that God would have all of us not to be doing. And when he speaks, we need to not only listen. And by the way, you haven't heard him until you're obedient to him. And look, I use the analogy of my sister calling all the time. And look, I haven't heard her as a child until I am saying, okay, I'm going home. And until you're obedient to God, you really haven't heard him. And listen, because you haven't heard him, he can speak a little louder. He can do it through his word. He can do it through people. He can do it any way he wants to. But he's going to eventually get to a tone that you're going to hear. And it might not be very nice, but he is going to get his point across. We see in verse 1 of chapter 2, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things, he says, which we have heard, lest at any time, he says, we should let them slip. He goes on in verse 2, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received, look, a just recompense, a reward. And what he's saying, by the way, he's not saying that an angel is going to give you an original thought. They didn't go and tell you something, although Satan's demons try to do that. But we remember even with Mary, and the angel went to her, and with Elizabeth and Zacharias, the angel went to them. They were only giving them or echoing what God told them to say. And here he's saying, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and what he's talking about, that Moses received the law, that the angels did not give him the law, but they were somehow affiliated in regard to being a messenger of what God said. They were there as well, and they had something to do with it. It wasn't their thought, it was God's thought. Angels are messengers, and they do what God tells them to do. For the word, verse 2, spoken by angels was steadfast, and it was, because they were speaking for God. And every transgression, he says, and disobedience, look, received a just recompense, a reward. And listen, this King James verbiage might have you in a place where, well, what is he talking about? What is he talking about in the old covenant or the new covenant? If you're going and doing something that there, and it's not right, there's going to be consequences. Always. We tell our children, don't touch that, it's hot. And sometimes you get to a place because they keep wanting to touch it because you told them not to. You might just let them touch it. It ain't going to kill them, but when they get burned one time, they will never touch it again. And he's saying that when God speaks, we need to be obedient. Man, when I first got saved, that as a young Christian, I didn't realize that this word of God was that important. I really didn't. And I would take some of it with a grain of salt. But as he groomed me and grew me and was training me and showing me, I realized that if God says it, that settles it. Whether I want to be obedient or believe it or not, it's true. And when it's directed to me, I'm going to hear it. The easy way, by being obedient, or the hard way, as he opens the oven door, as you heard me say so many times, and looks and sees I'm not done yet, and he turns the heat up and slams the door shut, and when he's done, I'm going to open the door, and some of y'all know what I'm talking about. He says in verse 2, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. He says, how shall we, and look, he's talking about us in the new covenant, he's talking about Christians, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? In other words, listen, we will not escape. God has saved you. And by the way, we just saw that it cost Christ everything, that he died for you and died for your sin and paid for your sin. And by the way, you were in jail, you were incarcerated, and his death set you free. He's saying that how shall we escape with everything that God has done for us if we neglect so great a salvation? And guys, it is great. In fact, it's the greatest thing that any man or any woman can ever have, because we know in life, and look, everybody in here is probably over 50, and I'm shooting from the hip. But I would suspect that you remember when you were 13 and 14 and 15. And listen, it's like you laid down and you woke up, and next thing you know, you're the age you are now. And even now, I mean, the days be going by so fast, I'm sliding my feet trying to slow them down. Now, it might be a sign of my age, and probably is, that it seems like I got a whole lot more done in a day than I do now. Some of it's my age, some of it is the encapsulating of time. This thing is moving so fast, and what he's saying is that we won't escape if we neglect so great a salvation, he says, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. And he's pointing to his early disciples and his apostles that they witnessed what Christ did. They were confirming the fact that the Holy Spirit came and gave them gifts and blessed them in ways that they were not ever blessed before. And by the way, if you know Christ as Savior, he has blessed you that way as well. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And guys, I don't care what anybody says, and I'm not putting a timetable or limit on anything. Things here are not the same, and things are happening that I've never seen happen before, and it helps me to know that as time is quickening up, as sin is encroaching at an alarming rate, that I need to be more about my Father's business and less about Brother Ralph's mess. And it ought to be time. In fact, it should have been time. And I need this friendly reminder from time to time, because sometimes I can get lackadaisical, and like that ship, I can go on by the dock, and I'm wondering, where am I going to get off? And I messed around and did not heed the warning that God gave to me. Verse 4 says, God also bearing them witness, talking about the early disciples, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost. This is according to his own will. And listen, them guys, those guys, apostles, they witnessed some, they witnessed folk coming back from the dead at the hands of Jesus Christ. And listen, they were even themselves in the apostolic age able to do some miracles that literally would blow in their own minds, because God was working through them as well. He says in verse 5, for unto the angels hath he not put in subjection, he said, the world to come, where he says we speak. And what the writer is saying is that He's pointing actually to the millennial reign when all the believers are there, that the angels aren't going to be in control of that, guys. It's not going to be angel-led. It's not going to be man-led. But Christ is going to be the only authority there in the kingdom world. In verse 6, he said, "But one in a certain place testified, saying, 'What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visited him?'" And listen, it's a question that's asked. And I got to be honest, sometimes I ask the Lord that same question, just about me in particular. Why would you fool with somebody like me? You already know how I was. You know how I am. You don't even know what I'm going to do tomorrow. Why would you fool with me? And listen, the question here is asked, and it's actually coming out of Psalm 4, verses 6 and 8. And God, in knowing man, he created man. And listen, he said that it was very good in regard to all his creation. But he knew that in chapter 3 of the book of Genesis, that he was going to sin and go away from God. He knew that. He knew he was going to have to bring a universal flood and get rid of everything he created, save one family. He knew that. And he knew when he reinstituted man and started human government and started this thing all over again, he knew which way it was going to go. And guys, as wicked as it is during our time, he knew that as well. And nothing catches him by surprise. And yet and still, he created us anyhow. And then had to come up with a fix, because that animal sacrifice thing was just putting folk on layaway. It wasn't really saving nobody. And so he sent his only son, and look, that didn't catch him by surprise either, to die in our stead. Because if he did not save Noah and his family, we wouldn't be here. If he did not allow Christ or send his son to die in our stead, we would not be here either. We'd be on our way to hell. But he came up with a plan. Hallelujah. Not at the last minute. It was always part of his plan. And he instituted grace. And he chose some to be his children. And blessed us with an understanding of what salvation was all about. And called us. And saved us. And now he simply expects we who are his ambassadors, his vessels here on earth, to show forth Jesus Christ. That someone should be able to see Jesus because of how we live. And I dare say, guys, on a lot of fronts, I think we failed. And look, I can do it personally. I know on a lot of fronts I failed as well. And as we see the day approaching, the scriptures talks about, as we know that things are beginning to wrap up, that sin has gotten increasingly sinful, that we who know the Lord need to be about our Father's business. And that's in everything that we do. Amen. He says in verse 4, "God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come," where it says, "where we speak," and he's pointing toward the millennial reign, the 1,000-year reign of Christ on this earth after the tribulation period. It says, "But one in a certain place testifies, saying, 'What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him?'" It says, "Thou madest him a little lower than the angels." And that's verse 7, man. And he did. He made us lower than the angels. And a lot of times folk think they're going to go toe-to-toe with a fallen angel, a demon. Look, we go to Christ. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He has already defeated Satan. So why am I going to have a conversation with Satan when I can just simply talk to my God? And like the angel, archangel said to Christ, "The Lord rebuke you." He's already finished. Ain't no sense in me going toe-to-toe to try to prove my manhood. He says in verse 7, "Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands." Now here you have these angelic hosts, and we're made lower than them. But yet and still, he put us in control and charge of the things of this world. He did that. And look, the only motivation, and look, he was asking a question that came out of the Psalms in regard to what is man or who is man. Look, he did that whole thing, that whole salvation thing. The only reason why he minds us is because he loves us. And sometimes we're not very lovely, but he loved us anyhow. He says in verse 7, thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things, he says, in subjection under his feet. And he did that for man. He put everything under us, at least originally he did. It says, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. He said, and the verse goes on, but now we see not yet all things put under him. And look, he did have us, he had us in a position to be over all things. And then what happens? Sin enters into the picture. And then all of a sudden, just like Adam and Eve, we leave God's protection. We leave God's covering. And next thing you know, we're covering ourselves. And we're running from God, and God is wondering, even so for some believers, brother, sister, where art thou? Because we have left, in a lot of cases, our first love, and we're doing things that we ought not be doing, and we have left our Lord out of it. Amen? He says in verse 10, but we see Jesus, and that's the good news. It says, who was made a little lower than the angels for, and the purpose why he was made, and by the way, he was made, he wasn't created, but he put on flesh, and he put on man's flesh, who was also made a little lower than the angels, because there was some business, some sin business he had to take care of, and the verse says, for the suffering of death. In other words, he had to put on flesh so that he could take care of the sin issue once and for all. God says that the only thing, even with the animal sacrifices, they had to be perfect animals, no blemishes, and for the permanent fix for sin, it had to be perfect, and only Christ was perfect, so he allowed them to put on flesh to deal with the mess that was down here on this earth, and for 3 years, 3.5 years, he ministered knowing full well what the outcome of this thing was going to be, and look, he looked past the cross, knowing he would raise in victory. But man, there was a lot of turmoil he had to go through before he actually was risen in victory. They wouldn't listen to him. They wouldn't hear him. They wouldn't be obedient to him. And even his hand-picked guys, his disciples, one literally sold him out, and the others act like they did not even know who Jesus was. And denied him, his main man, Peter, 3 times. He knew all this and knew it was going to occur. But he looked past all that. And in fact, he looked past even when God raised him up and put him on the right hand of God, because he had you on his mind and he had me on his mind. And he said, there's going to be this hard-head dude from Philadelphia who I know.
You've been listening to Pastor Ralph Williams from New Beginnings in Christ Ministries. If you'd like to contact Pastor Ralph, you can write to him at Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida 32910. Once again, that's Pastor Ralph Williams, Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida 32910. You also can email them at newbeginningslamp, L-A-M-P, at gmail.com. Be with us again next Friday morning at 10 o'clock for another program from the New Beginnings in Christ Ministries.